You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all of you, no matter where you're at. And we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. We've called this program for a lot of years, 18-plus years now, Pastor Don.
Amen.
Raising the Standard. That's what we're accomplishing here, hopefully, with the help of the Lord, as we teach and lead people to walk in the holiness that God would have us to walk in. So we're honored to be here with you. Praise God. So Pastor Don's got a couple things she'd probably like to mention here as we start here. We're going to share a few things here today I think will be helpful to all of us, knowing where our country's at today and all. And so, Pastor Don, why don't you go ahead and tell them what we got. We got a DVD again this afternoon and some other things you want to talk about.
Well, that's pretty much it. Yes, we do have this afternoon we will be having at 4 o'clock, we have a video, and it's about, Pastor Gene?
About the Muslims and their history all the way from beginning to end by a man by the name of Bill Federer, and he's one of the key guys that really probably knows more about the Muslim faith than anybody. It's a 3-DVD series, and we've listened to the last two. Very informative. He moves along pretty fast. He knows all the names and all the things that happened. And so we're going to look at the third segment of that today at 4 o'clock.
We watched it, and it's just, I mean, I didn't know all this.
It's incredible.
How history has played.
That's right.
How it's played a part, I mean, all down through history and in different countries. And it's really, it's a strong spirit, and it's moving quickly in, throughout the entire earth.
That's right. You know, their plan is to take over the world. That's what they want. They want to put Sharia law in place. And so we need to be aware of it. Most of the churches kind of takes it lightly, and I think our country does too as well, you know. And we should be trying to do some things to hinder all this. But we're supposed to be a Christian nation, supposedly. But from the things that's going on, it appears we're really not a Christian nation. And so maybe what Obama said there when he first went into office with that one, when he was over in the Middle East, he said, "We're really not a Christian nation." Well, maybe that's where we're heading to. But see, it's up to all of us as believers to turn this thing around and let people know that we are a Christian nation, where everything's based on the Judeo-Christian principles from the Word of God, and we're just slowly drifting away from
that.
That's right.
But there is a remnant.
There is a remnant. That's what the Bible says.
And
there
so
will be at the end.
The remnant, you know, they really need to pray, and they need to be. If you say you're a Christian, then you need to be a Christian.
That's right.
And you know, sometimes people don't really even like the word Christian. If you say you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of people, they have different definition for the word Christian.
What is a Christian? Just someone that follows Christ, you know?
Yeah, well, what Christ are they following?
That's right. We
you
wonder
know,
about that sometimes,
to,
too, don't
right,
we?
Because Jesus warned about following other people.
That's right.
And he talked about going out into the desert, you know, and there's many Christs. And what does the word Christ mean, Pastor Gene?
It's the anointed one.
The anointed one.
There's only one anointed one. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, yeah.
There's many who think they're anointed.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
And what are the anointed to do? Some people, you know, I don't know if I should even say this. Maybe I won't. But, you know, I think some, you know, but people worship the devil. You know, I think the devil even anoints people to do wicked things.
Sure he does.
You know,
he can appear as an angel of light, it says in the Bible.
That's right. That's right. Now, some people may not understand that or see where I'm coming from for that. But we just want to bless you and thank you for listening here today before we get on a roll here, because we really don't always know what we're going to talk about, but we are led by the Holy Ghost. We have an idea. But, you know, many times the Lord takes us in different directions, and we just want to be willing to follow his lead. And it's not just one of us, it's two of us. So here we've got this double, it's like a two-edged sword, honey, and me and the Holy Ghost, and we see where the Lord leads us. But we're blessed to be on WCNO every Saturday from, like Pastor Gene said, from 12 until 1. We're also on the internet, so if you miss it or you want, if you're somewhere else and you're driving, you want to listen to it next week, you can go to the internet and you can listen to the program on WCNO.com. That's WCNO.com. And just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard or Pastor Gene Hilton, and you will see the programming. They have a programming guide on that website. So praise the Lord for that. You know, we had a word one time we would be able to, we would go around the world, wouldn't we?
That's right. It's even on the internet now.
And now it's on the internet. And even the Bible Marathon, we had a word that would happen.
Yeah. We've had people from the world call, too.
And we have had a lot of people call
send letters
from different places. Yeah. And we just thank the Lord for that. So we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have today will be at 4 o'clock with this video, and then we will have our meal afterwards and close the Shabbat out at 6, around a little after 6. So, and then we will have services again tomorrow on Sunday morning at Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
So that will be tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. till whenever.
Till whenever the Lord's done. That's right.
Till whenever. Right. We just want to worship God, right? We just need to worship God. That's what the Bible says. It says in Revelation 19:10, worship God. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of
prophecy. We
should
want his presence more than anything. Anything.
Anything.
Anything. You know, anything we want, we should want his presence, because that's how we get changed by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
When we sit in his presence. And so we're honored to be here with you. And so,
and we have on Friday night, we come together at 7 p.m.
Have our Shabbat.
On Shabbat. Mm-hmm. And we have communion that evening, and we spend time seeking God's presence and just marinating, soaking, and just enjoying the
some
presence
good music,
of the Lord.
Just lay there and listen to his voice to
some
us.
Some people lay down. Yeah, so we got a strange church. What can I say? Some people lay down on the floor. Some people lay on chairs. Some people just sit in chairs. You know, some people stand with their hands raised. You know, and you can worship God in any position. It's got what God looks at is what? The heart.
Sure.
He looks at our heart.
But I remember years ago, a dear sister came to our church. Her name is Shirley Arnold. Never forget her.
Yes.
She's a prophetess. And she spoke a word over us. And I remember one thing she said was that your drum beat is not a drum beat that you hear in the church. It's a different drum beat. And there's some things that are going to be done differently, because church will never be the same. And God's wanting to do some things in church today, you know, instead of just being a service. I don't even like to call it a service. We come to meet with God. It's a meeting with God for each individual. And so it should be considered that way and thought about it in a different way.
Amen.
Instead of all this routine things that we have, God wants to touch our hearts. And if we don't give him time to do that, well, then we got a problem, don't we? We think about this, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of churches don't move in the realm of the Spirit a lot. Some don't move at all. And so if we just get, there's nothing wrong with the Bible, getting the Word, but they, a lot of them are in the wrong Bible. Amen? They're in the wrong Bible. But if we just get the Word, we kind of get mundane to it, and we might kind of just kind of dry up because we're hearing this, you know, that all the time. But then we have another group, you know, like the charismatics, I like to call them cruisomatics sometimes. They like to run around all these meetings and want to swing on chandeliers and get all the goosebumps and all the stuff that they want to have. Well, then what's going to happen with those people? They're eventually going to just blow up, because they need a balance. And so what do we want? God wants to have the balance between the Word of God and also the moving of the Spirit. And then we're going to grow up, not blow up. And
that's
the key
right.
thing is that we don't, you know, we can teach the Word. It's wonderful. But then we should also give God almost the same amount of time that we taught the Word to also to minister to people in the meetings that we come together with him, so people's lives can be touched, stirred, and activated and brought to a new place. That's what God wants them to do. He wants them to grow up and mature, and we have to teach, train, and activate and impart to people so they can go out and do the work of the ministry themselves. That's what it's all about. That's the responsibility fivefold ministers have today. And so we need that. And I've said this many times on this radio program and to our congregation. The Bible talks about that Jesus gave some to be what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, okay? He gave some, not everybody, but he's called certain ones to those offices. And what for? To teach, train, and activate people. Now, here's the key thing. If we as a church of Jesus Christ, if we don't have an impartation from all five of those ministries, we're not going to grow up. So the church is running today on a three-cylinder engine, I call it. They got the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and they don't think the apostles and prophets for today. But I got news for you, if you're listening. It's never been done away with. Men have laid it aside, okay? And so if we have all five of those dimensions, we may not be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher ourselves, but if we can allow those to come into the congregation and to teach and show us things, well, then that's how we're going to grow up. So we need a dimension. Not that we're going to be one, but we need a dimension from the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. We need all five of those in our lives to grow up. And if we don't have that, we're missing out.
And a healthy church will have those things.
That's right.
It's just like having, you got to have a good diet, you know.
That's right.
Naturally, well, we need a good diet of the Word. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, that's why the Jewish people believe, if I remember correctly, I've read this before, that the highest form of worship is the study of the Torah, study of God's Word.
Right.
Well, but we have to also know how to move into the spiritual realm. And, you know, we need to see, when we're studying God's Word, we need to have to be in a place where God can speak to our spirit, because we have the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
We have the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost will show us the deeper things, the mysteries. And we won't be just surface readers, you know, we won't just be surfing through the Bible. We'll be able to go down into the deeper things of God and pull out these treasures and the things that God wants us to know. Just like some of and God speaks to us every week. There's prophecy comes forth. Last week it was about the rock. You know,
sure.
There's so much more into the understanding of who the rock is. And when you come back to what the experience Moses had with the rock and with God and what happened there, you know, it says that river followed them through the desert.
That's right.
Well, prophetically, we need to know that we have the river of God, and we need to release the river of God within us, and He will lead us and direct us. Amen.
Into all truth.
Into all truth. And I haven't even given the telephone number yet, Pastor Gene.
Go ahead.
So that would be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yes,
thank
and we
you,
do
Lord.
Believe in the filling
yes,
of the
Lord.
Holy Ghost.
I've had
Amen.
It for years. Thank
and
you, Lord.
And the evidence, right, speaking in tongues. So we're just blessed to be here, and I'm going to give you the telephone number. And if you'd like to come and visit us, we're in Stuart, Florida, and we're fairly easy to find. We're right on Canner Highway and in the Monterey Plaza in Stuart, Florida, at Monterey Road and Canner Highway. And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And before we start talking more, I wanted to mention, Pastor Gene, and remind people we are only like less than a month away from the Bible reading marathon.
The 15th year marathon. Yeah.
So that means we're going to be reading the entire Bible. The entire Bible.
The King James Bible.
Yes, it's a readathon. That means when you start, you don't stop.
Right.
So we'll be starting November the 11th at 7 o'clock in the evening. And we will read continually, day and night, round the clock, 24/7. Gotta make that clear.
Yeah.
All the time, day and night, until we come to, till we finish.
Sunday afternoon, we finish. Yeah.
Sunday around 1 o'clock.
Read every word in the Bible, every single word.
And we're not there to preach. We're not there to teach. We're there to read the Word of God. And we're in the downtown Stuart. We're here in Martin County. Of course, this is a call from the Treasure Coast, you know, the whole Treasure Coast, because people come from all around to come and to read. We have people come from, 3 hours drive to come and read.
A lot of people come from Fort Lauderdale. Even.
We have people come from Miami. We have people come from the Bahamas. Hey, listen to Roscoe and Audrey.
Right.
Want to say hello to Roscoe
That's
and
right.
Audrey over there
Our sister church in the Bahamas.
Our sister church
yeah.
in the Bahamas. They come and they've come and helped us out. Many have been just faithful to help us out. Because it's a labor of love, and it's, you know, it's just dedication to reading God's Word. So we read right there in the city park on government property, and every person reads, and they have their, you know, we got a great big Bible, and same Bible, we all read out the same Bible, and we're reading towards Jerusalem.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah.
God told me it would be a breaker's anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all and on PA system, so you people hear it all around. People hear it from two or three streets away, and so people come to read the Bible. And I say, can you give God 15 minutes? Well, a lot of people give God a lot more than 15 minutes when it comes to this Bible reading marathon.
Because that's right.
They'll come and they'll stay during the night and help out, or they'll come and read every day. Or some people during the night hours, they may read for half an hour instead of 15 minutes. So it's for everyone, children, adults, Bible study groups, churches, anyone. It's not just Spirit of Prophecy. No, we're a very small congregation. We're a very small group of people that love Jesus so much. But it's for the whole, it's for the body of Christ. So it's not from any particular church. We just happen to be organizing it. And so, please, we need help and we need prayer. And if you can come and read, we would just give us a call at that number, 772-285-7007. And we would love to have you be a participant. This is our number 15th year. And the first year when the Lord gave us this was right after the towers came down. He said it would be protection for our nation against terrorism.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into all that. Maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more about the Bible Marathon and how it came about. You know, everything is birthed. Everything should be birthed by the Spirit. And so this Bible Marathon was birthed by the Spirit. And it seems like a very difficult task for anyone to do, for any group of people to do. But you know, our prayer is that there'll be Bible Marathons throughout our county, throughout our state, in every county. And really, it should be that if it was like that throughout the states, if every county in the United States had a Bible Marathon,
it'd bring a change. Yeah,
I believe it would bring a change. And we helped start one over in Venice, right. And there's others that are in Florida now. But you know, there's
in Tallahassee one year.
There's a lot of counties in Florida. I forgot exactly how many, 60 some, I believe. But it's a very powerful thing to do, and people are touched. I'm telling you, some people are so touched. And they cry, and you know, and just this, you know, how many people get to stand up at a pulpit and get to read
the Bible.
God's Word? And you just feel the power and you just feel the anointing during this Bible reading.
So don't say you can't do it, because you can.
And that's right. And I love to see families come and children
it's
come
wonderful.
And classes come, school classes come, and you know, anyone can, you know, even an unbeliever can come and read the Bible. Who knows? They might get touched and get saved. And we've had that experience happen as well. So I just want to mention that's November the 11th through the 15th. So if you can't come and you're listening, please put it on your prayer list and keep it in prayer, because we certainly need a lot of prayer.
That's right. I want to remind people, this is not a church event. This
no?
is the church.
That's right.
It's not about us. And somebody had to steer and direct it. So that's why we want you to know. It's not, you know, some groups don't want to get involved because they didn't start it. It doesn't matter who started. We want to be involved with something that's going to touch the whole community. And this is going to be read all over the sound's going to go all over the county.
That's right. And you know, one year, I don't know, it was maybe 6 years ago. I can't remember which year it was. But the Lord spoke to me. They said this would go around the world. And I thought, Lord, how's that ever going to happen? And that was really before we were even on the radio, on the internet.
At
that
yeah.
time, you know, the radio station.
We were on the radio, but not on the internet.
We were on the radio, but they hadn't gone on the internet as yet. But a gentleman came by from WorldNet Daily.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even know him. He was driving by, he saw us setting up, and he came back that evening, and he took some pictures, and he just looked around, and he says, oh, this is nice, and didn't say who he was or anything.
And he read for a
and
while,
he
too.
And he says, I'm going to come back later, and can I read in the night hours? Because he saw on the chart we needed people to read during the night hours. You know, the time between 2 and 5 is kind of hard to get people to read during those
mm-hmm.
hours. But to tell you, sometimes those are really the best hours. But and so when he came back, we actually weren't there. Were we there? I can't remember. It's been so many years ago.
Well, we found out the next morning. Yeah,
but he came back
in the middle of the night.
We found out he's one of the major with WorldNet Daily, the internet newspaper. It's also, I believe, it's Christian. And he took all those pictures, and then he wrote up a story and he put it on there. And he said, when he came back, he said it already had 10,000 hits
around
and
the world.
So you know, that was the prophecy coming. It just came to pass. You know, sometimes prophecy. You were talking about prophets, right? You were talking about prophecy. Well, sometimes when you get a prophecy or you hear a word, it may happen quickly. That happened because we heard that maybe a week or two before that. The Lord told me it would go around the world, and then here it happens. You know,
that's
but
right.
Some prophecies don't happen for several years. So we never know exactly
right.
when prophecy is going to happen. But we do believe in prophecy because,
amen.
You know, this Bible, this book we're looking at is, I don't know what percentage, of it is prophecy. You probably know, Pastor Gene, but the majority of it, I think is prophecy. It's speaking about...
About two-thirds of the Bible is prophecy.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I mean, he's...
Right.
And this is the thing that the Lord showed me as we're reading through the Torah. I'm going to mention this, Pastor Gene. Through the Torah, we read through the Torah portions, our church does, or our congregation. And so...
The five books of the Bible.
Would be the first five books of the Bible. And the Lord said to me, look for Jesus. Look for the face of Jesus on every page.
That's right.
And so that's what I'm doing, and that's what I shared with our congregation. As we're reading through the Torah this year, don't think it's a boring thing because you're going to read it again.
Nope.
You know, we need to read the word over and over again. Like you said, it doesn't get boring. If we're looking for if we're not just reading it as a book, but we're looking into it as, you know, God's word and into what we need to learn from a lot of people have, you know, we can learn from other people's experiences. And what God is saying to us about, like what the Lord was showing me about the rock. So as we go through the Torah readings, if we just say, I said, you know, Jesus is smiling. It's like, I want to see this and see the smile on people's face, see Jesus in other people, and also see Jesus on every single page as we're reading through these Torah scriptures, because he is on every page. I believe he is. There's a prophetic word about him.
I see his signatures on every page, yeah.
Every page, yeah.
That's right.
So we can't miss it if we look.
That's right.
We will see it.
Deep things only come by the Spirit of God. Ask him to show you some things.
That's right,
as you read the Bible. So it's interesting.
So we're just blessed to be on this program, and we want to say hello to all of you out there, and if any of you can help with the finances on this radio broadcast, you're welcome to give us a call, or you could send a love offering to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995.
That's right.
Amen.
We've been on 18 plus years, so God's always taking care of it. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about doing something else when we came on here, but see how the Holy Ghost works. Donna started off talking about the rock.
The rock.
And we know that the Bible even talks about it. Paul talked about it in Corinthians, about that rock in the wilderness was about, he said it was Christ, okay?
That's it.
And the rock. And so I was thinking about this, and this is an interesting thought. And I think it's in Exodus chapter 17. I'm not going to go over there and read it, but it's in Exodus 17. You can check it out. Moses was in control at that time, and we know the Amalekites came against God's people. And so a battle came into being from that. And so Joshua he went down in the valley and he was fighting the Amalekites. And Moses stood up on the mountain and he had his rod and he had his hands up. And as long as he held his hands up, the battle was won. But his arms and hands got
lit. He needed some help.
He was tired. And I think he probably laid the rod down because he was holding up his hands. Well, they set him on a rock.
Or he could be holding the rod between his hands, each hand. That's what I see.
Well, he has still.
He
still
could have a rod.
Could be.
Like that.
But anyway, he was set on a rock, okay?
I believe
that rock was Yeshua.
Yes,
okay?
Amen.
Now think about it. So two people came. Who was it? Aaron and Hur came. And when his arms went down, he looked down. He saw Joshua, the battle was being turned around the wrong way. So those men would hold up Moses' arms. And what would happen? Joshua began to win the battle.
It's like the strength came back in. Well, it's just like us, you know, with this, I'm thinking with this Bible marathon, we need help.
That's right.
We need people to help us hold up our arms in this too, you
That's
know,
right.
because, you know, when we all work together, we're the body of Christ.
Right.
We need to realize we're the body of Christ. We're not a denomination, you know, we're not a messianic congregation. We're not this, we're not that. We're the body of Christ.
That's right.
We need to all come together. There's too much separation, and that's why there's too much division. And that's why there's problems, you know. And, of course, we're not going to all agree on every single thing. But, you know, there's some things that doctrinally we need to agree on.
That's right.
And one of them is, like you said, he is the rock. And he's the only
he's
one.
He's always been the rock.
He was a rock in the wilderness.
The mm-hmm.
And he still is the
that's
rock.
Right. So
he's
let me finish
of our
this.
Salvation.
Right. Let me finish this. So we're all in a battle, aren't we? Just like Joshua was in a battle down there. But the interesting thing, the two men that held his arms up, Aaron... Who was Aaron? He was the high priest. Yeshua is our high priest today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the man on the other side was Hur. I looked up Hur's name. His name means brightness or light. So between, you know, with Jesus Christ being our high
salvation.
Priest, and we have the light of him, And when we look to Him, we sit on His Word, which is the rock, and He'll hold up our hands no matter what kind of battle we're going through, we're going to have the victory. But we have to depend upon what? The Holy Ghost, and also what? Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so those two are there always to help us. You know, the High Priest, He's there. And also the Holy Ghost is always there. He's the light that's in us. And so as long as Moses sat on that rock and those men helped hold up His hands, they won the battle. So it's a pattern for
some
us.
Brightness.
With our life today, with mm-hmm. Christ, we need Him and the Holy Ghost very much. The brightness of the Holy Ghost, amen? All right? And knowing Yeshua as our Savior, the Messiah.
And knowing, you know, you're not by yourself.
Moses right.
wasn't there by himself.
Sure wasn't.
He had help. And, you know, when you have something like that, it's almost like there's an extra electricity, you know, to brighten the light. And it gives you hope and it gives you strength. And so then you can press through and go through the, you know, the battle. Because the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's.
Lord's, that's right.
But God uses people. He uses people. He used people all through the Bible.
Absolutely.
To bring forth His glory and His power mm-hmm. and the anointing.
Sure.
Wow, it's all about.
See, think about there was four people involved. We had Moses, we had Joshua fighting down in the valley, mm-hmm. and then we had Aaron and Hur. So it's like the fourth man in the fire.
Oh, wow. And the other thing that I didn't realize until I read through the Bible this last time about in the Torah portions, I didn't realize that they had so many battles while they were still in the wilderness.
Sure.
You know, I just figured they were just walking around in the wilderness and, you know, and complaining. I know they did a lot of complaining and murmuring,
yeah, they did.
Which did not please God at all.
That's right.
But, you know, they had to fight battles even in the wilderness. And so it wasn't just when they went across the Jordan
right.
That they began to fight. No, they had things that they had to do in the wilderness, and God directed them along the way, and He told them who to fight and who not to fight. And so, you know, as long as they were obedient, they were always successful.
And the rock was always there with them.
Right, but when they started to be disobedient, you know, they would fail.
That's
they?
Right.
And so, you know, it's all. If we obey God, if we obey His word, and we follow after Him, then you know we're going to have victory, and we're not going to be disappointed. Now I got to bring it to it. Since we have not gone on the topic we were going to talk on, I got to bring it to another dimension. Bring
okay.
it right back to this to now. There are a lot of Christians who say they're believers, but they do things that are wrong.
That's right. Many things.
They live in sin.
Yeah.
And it's not, and we all sin. I'm not saying we don't sin. We all sin. But there are people who live in deliberate sin, and they don't think there's anything wrong with it.
That's right, because everybody else is doing it.
And they think, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And of course, people have judged us, and of course, people have said that we've judged them, because there's certain things that we don't do.
We believe in holiness.
We try
true holiness,
to try to walk in that, and I'm not saying that we don't miss it.
We're not perfect, but we're doing our best to try.
We all miss it, but you know, I'm not going to go out and buy Halloween garbage. That is such a money maker.
That's right.
For this country, you know, people get rich off of the giving glory to the devil.
That's right.
And you know how many Christians are going to be, or maybe already have. Bought a pumpkin and carved it in there and stuck it by the front door, or
like
started to hang,
yeah.
or started hanging things out in their house, or have planned
goblins and
or
ghosts.
Planning a holiday party. They're not planning a saints party. Well, they said it was All Saints Day. Well, the Catholics started all that to try to make it. Well, I'd call it a cover up. But you know, when they're not worshiping saints. They're not. It's all about darkness. It's all about the devil. This Halloween stuff, you know. So it's really a day of Halloween is a day for devils, not for saints.
That's right.
So and are we're saints.
We should come out from among it.
Saints, and so we're God's people,
right.
And so we should not be part of that at all.
That's right.
Part of that at all. And they watch these terrible shows on TV, and
all the horror
all
movies.
Of these kids are indoctrinated into this, and even you know little children they dress them up in outfits, and they think that this is just a fun day.
It's not cute.
A fun day. It's not what it is at all.
It's not cute.
And a Christian should not be involved in Halloween. See, they used to call it Hallow's Eve's night.
Right.
Well, then they changed it to Halloween, E-N, and then finally it came to Halloween. So we should not be a part of, you know, it's part of, it's worshiping pagan things. It's worshiping the devil.
We need to wean ourselves away from this.
Yes, they do. The church needs to come away from that. The Bible says to what? To come away from those things.
Come out from among them.
Out from among them and be holy. So we're to be holy. So actually, this is a religious holiday for the devil.
That's
and
right.
It's, you know, there are a lot, and a lot of people don't believe it, but there are, the devil is real, and there are a lot of people that actually don't just have parties, but they do evil things on Halloween.
That's right.
There's sacrifices and there's things
even
like
cults
that.
Even cults do, you know?
And yes, even cults do. So that's one thing that I was thinking about. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I mean, you're seeing stuff all over the place now. You can't go into any store. I try not to even walk by the shelves with all that stuff.
It's pathetic. It's everywhere.
It's so sad, and that God's people would waste, the money we earn should be used for, you know, what the right things.
That's right.
And so how much money is being spent on this at this time of the year for
Halloween.
But
the sad thing is how the parents are indoctrinating their children, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go.
That's right.
And when he's old, what? He'll not depart from it. He'll not turn away.
He will
do the right things. So we need to have righteous instructions. We need to teach our children. You know, it's not
the right way.
It's not taking something away from the children.
Nope. Protecting them is what we're doing.
It's protecting them.
That's right.
It's protecting them.
From the work
of
the enemy.
You know, the Bible says that the truth will make us free.
Hallelujah.
It's not going to cause us to be sad or feel like we're being left out. It'll make us free. And, you know, people can do other things for their children besides have to have a Halloween candy and all this other garbage that they do. Well, that's as much as I can say right now on Halloween. Maybe next week we'll say some more on it. But it is definitely, and if you know the history and how it came about, it definitely is.
It's a pagan holiday.
You know,
it's a devil's
holiday.
They were
trying to bring all, they were, you know, well, we won't talk about Constantine and all that happened when it all started way back when. But you see how something started way back when, and look how huge it is. I think it's probably one of the major money makers.
That's right.
For the year.
Mm-hmm.
That and Christmas, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
Oh, Let's talk about something encouraging. Let's talk about the Word.
Yeah.
How God wants us to be holy.
He says, be holy.
And I see you're in the book of Romans. That's probably where you're going to go originally.
Well, I was thinking this morning.
Let's just go on over there and see.
I was just thinking this morning before we came on that I'm kind of thinking this week about the condition our country's in right now. It's because of sin. It's just everywhere. It's rampant. It's everywhere. And it's just unbelievable. And the church hasn't stood up for the things that are right. And
that's right.
We need to do that. And so I was reading over here yesterday and this morning in Romans chapter 1. I can't read the whole chapter, but there were some things going on there that made God very unhappy. And so Paul discussed this. And I thought we might just talk about a few things in this. And I'm going to start in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. Paul's writing this by the Spirit of God. He says, for the invisible things of him, this is God and Yeshua, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They have, in other words, they have no defense whatsoever. And the Godhead we know is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So he's telling us in this chapter that God's giving us two things that every person should realize, that the God of this universe is who he says he is, Yod Heh Vav Heh. And if we understand this, it should help a lot of people as well. Maybe you that are listening to the radio. So the Godhead is very important. So the key thing is he gave us all a conscience, okay? And so and it shows us what's right from wrong. But now the Bible says we can have our conscience seared so much that we don't. But if we go with what God gave us with our conscience, well, that's going to help us as well. And so they have that, and also they have God's creation we just read here. We can see all the beauty that God created on this earth and all. Someone had to do that. It didn't come by a big bang. Someone, some divine being had to do that. His name is Yod Heh Vav Heh, God, the God of this universe. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as we read here in verse 20. It says, even his eternal power and Godhead. Some of the Bibles don't even have the word Godhead in here. They put divine nature, divine being in there. Well, that could be anything, but the Godhead is clear. It's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God. Amen? It's important. In fact, while I'm looking at this in verse 16, it says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All right. Now, these other, most of these other Bibles has the one key word taken out because they don't want you to understand what it's all about. They remove the word Christ. It's not the gospel. It's worded this way, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Well, what gospel? It has to be what? Of Christ, of the anointed Messiah. So we have all these things, even these other Bibles trying to pull us away. But let's go back to verse 20 now. So he said right here, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What? All the creation, you can look out and you can see the beauty, the mountains and everything we have being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They have no defense whatsoever. None whatsoever because of what they see and all. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, you know, they thought they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This foolish heart means it was without understanding. It was darkened completely. We got a lot of people today are in darkness because they don't understand what God's put in place for all of us. Yeshua is our Savior, our salvation. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, what? They became fools. We got a lot of people in our country like that today. They think they're wise, but they're really foolish because they don't know the things of God, or they're trying to remove the things of God out of the fabric of our country and all of our states and the county seats and the state rotunda and all the places that we see all the stuff that's going on that's trying to be removed. Now, verse 23, and it says, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Now, God is totally uncorruptible, isn't it? Yes. Into an image made like unto what? Corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. This was done all down through history. These people of different parts of the world worship these false gods that are not gods. It's been that way all the way down through time. The Egyptians did it. They all had these things that they worshipped instead of the God of the universe. And even Israel got into what? Idolatry and stuff, and they worshiped things that they shouldn't have, and they did things that they passed their children through the fire and all. Read over in Ezekiel the terrible things that they did. They had graffiti on the wall, even shows it. Ezekiel looked through the cracks of the wall of the temple and saw all this, and it was an abomination to God. So this is what they do. Now, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So he began to talk now about a thing we're going to read here, all about. And the King James is very polite about homosexuality. It's called abusers of themselves. And we just saw this, what this said. Read this. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness. And boy, that is totally uncleanliness. To the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies, what? Between themselves. Now listen, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God. What's the truth of God? It's the word, isn't it, Pastor Don? The word of God into a lie, said and saying, well, it's okay. God says it's okay. It's not okay. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Paul said, amen. Now, verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Well, what does the word vile mean? It means shameful, what, affections. For even their women did change the natural. The natural means the normal use of what? Their body, okay, is what it's telling us, into that which is against nature, against creation. And verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use, the normal use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men again with men. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. This error means it was perversion. That which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. It was perversion, which was meet, which was meet was fitting for what was going to happen when they stay in this place. It was fit that they would have this problem. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, some of these people claim to be Christians that do this.
That's right.
God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now that reprobate's an interesting word. It means, I looked it up one time, it can mean this. It means someone that cannot separate the truth from evil, the good from the evil.
They believe the lie.
They believe the lie.
They think the lie is true.
That's right. To reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. And they claim they're born that way. No, they're not born that way. God doesn't do, he creates a human being as perfect. Now verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, listen to all this, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Whispers. Malignity means just evil-minded and everything you think, you know.
Whispers
and all that. Evil-minded. Whew.
Boy, backbiters.
Backbiters. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Boy, do we have this in our country today. Disobedient to parents. That is everywhere.
My, my.
Dear friend of ours taking her children out of the public school system because she realizes how bad they're being taught. She's going to start homeschooling her kids. Hallelujah.
Praise God for that.
Verse 31. Without understanding, well, they are covenant breakers. Oh, look, think about covenant breakers. When we got married, that was a covenant we made.
That's right.
Covenant breakers. You're breaking a covenant that you made between a man and a woman when getting married, and also you're breaking a covenant that God put in place with you. You took vows before the Lord about it. Well, they don't even consider that anymore. Then it says, without natural affection. Isn't that what we have? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, in those days, because of the iniquity and all that, he says, even love's going to wax cold. Iniquity's the worst kind. That's where you take the word of God and you twist it. It means to pervert, to twist it into something that it doesn't mean. That's what we have today. All right? Without natural affection. Implacable. This means they cannot be calmed or appeased in any way, shape, or form. Don't we see that on TV with some of these people, the politicians and all? Unmerciful. Now listen to this. Now the last two verses is key. Who knowing the judgment of God, those people that do these things, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now what kind of death is that talking about? Well, they could die through it. When they had AIDS come out, and all, a lot of men and women, or men, the men died from AIDS because of what they were doing. And so it could be death, but he's talking about here what? Eternal death, separation from God if we remain in that place. Not only, listen to this, not only do they do the same, these people in those days, but we see it today, but have pleasure in them that do them. We watch programs on TV where we have homosexuality revealed, men kissing men, and all the stuff that we see.
Well, so, we don't watch them.
No, we
don't. Make that clear.
But a lot of people do. And so what happens? That means they're joining in. They're having pleasure in what they see with all this. And so
that's right.
God says this is an abomination to him. And so we have to remember what he's talking about with all this. And so here they were. They're taking the natural use of the body that God created and gave us, and we misused it, and we've turned it into a lustful thing, and a total abomination. It tells us that in Deuteronomy that a man lying with a man is an abomination to God. We see all these things. And so what I was thinking about,
they have a hardened heart.
That's right. That's what this reprobate mind says. They're just they don't know good. They don't want, they can't separate good from evil, and they won't listen to what the word of God says at all. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about another place here I was going to go to here with you this morning when I got
and up. So what's happened with the church?
That's right.
The church has become so compromising.
That's right.
And that they have, now we have Christian, they call themselves Christians, but they're not. No. We have churches that are homosexual churches.
And they are condoning it.
In America.
That's right.
In America. And they have large congregations. Wow.
And they're ordaining homosexuals into ministry in churches around the country, okay?
And right, and some people are marrying. They're marrying them.
That's right. I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with you, look at a little bit more here. I'm in chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 9. Listen to what Paul
says. Pastor Gene, I was thinking, you know, it's a hard thing when people have this situation, especially in a family, if they have
a
relative,
that's
a son
lifestyle.
Or a daughter,
that's
or a relative,
right.
and they try to compromise.
That's right.
But, you know, we can't compromise God's word.
Certainly can.
And we will never help that person by compromising.
Nope.
You know, we...
And patting them on the back, saying they're going to be okay.
No, we can't. We can't do that.
Right.
And so we have to, and it's not easy. It's difficult for people. That I do realize that, you know.
Sure it
but
is.
That doesn't mean that I have a hardened heart because I have compassion for them or for somebody or a family that I may know that's in this situation. But we can't sway away from the truth. We can't come and compromise the word of God like some of these churches are. And, you know, these teachers and pastors and churches are going to be under great
judgment. Sure will.
Someday soon, because they have fallen into this, they compromised the word of God.
Now we've redefined, or trying to redefine marriage in our country, allowing this. And the Bible says it's never going to be redefined, defined, redefined. Amen.
the country is, but you know, God's word has, and God's word is the same.
It's the same, but people don't want to look at it, so that's why we're there in trouble. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I didn't read a couple things here. In verse 9, Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Well, is that unrighteousness living that way? Sure, there's a lot of other ways. You know, if you're an alcoholic or on drugs, you can't get away from it. You're not coming to Jesus, letting him help you with it and get you through that. Well, it says the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, Paul said.
That's right.
Neither fornicators, those who are out there having sex and are not married. There's a lot of that going on in the church today and in the world. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate. Those that act, you know, they're men, but they act like women. Nor abusers of themselves. See, I mentioned this a while ago. The King James is very polite about this. That word homosexual went around at that time, and the word gay was a good word at one time. It's been destroyed. So here the Bible calls people that live in that lifestyle abusers of themselves with mankind. They're sodomites, in other words. That's what they are, all right? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And listen, this is the key part. And he says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So think about this. He says, you can come out of all that. You can come out of that. You can be washed. Bring your life to Yeshua. He's the one. He's the Savior of our world, of our lives and the world as well. And then 12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." He said, I could be doing these things, but they're not good for me. They're not expedient. "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So that means they're being controlled by this at that particular time in their life, if they can't come out of it. Now I'm going to go over to the book of Galatians here, chapter 5, I believe it is. I'm turning my Bible here. And let's look at this a little bit as well. It's in chapter 5. Now, I didn't write this for you that are listening to me. But see, I believe what's written in this book. I believe every single word in this from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. I believe every single word in this Bible is apropos to us. And even people talking about how bad the Torah is. The Torah has not been done away with. I'm telling you, it's not the Torah. It was a teaching, instruction of God how to walk a holy life with Him. It has not been done away with. Thank God we don't do a lot of ceremonial things, but there's a spirit behind all of it. And we have to remain in that and listen to what God's got to say. That's why we're reading, going through the Torah readings again now, to find out how God wants us to live. And He tells us how to live over there. And if we abide by that, then we're going to be blessed in our coming in or going out and everything. And so, over in the book of Hebrews, it kind of gives an impression that there was something, a flaw, or there was something wrong with the Torah. No, the part that was flawed was the priesthood, because they all sinned. They all sinned and had to sacrifice animals. But when Yeshua came, no, don't have to worry about that anymore, because He is the final sacrifice that would ever be required again for sin. We don't have to sacrifice little lambs or goats. Nope. We just come to Yeshua and confess our sin. So the Torah was not flawed, okay? They didn't have anything wrong with it. Why would God give Israel something that was bad? No way. So this is what we have this thought in the church today. For time's sake, I'm going to do this here. Verse 17 says this in Galatians 5.
Are you in Galatians now?
Yeah, Galatians 5. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." Now, we've talked about this a lot in our congregation. You notice that the soul or the mind is not mentioned. The battle is between the flesh, which is a picture of the old man, and the Spirit of God. So the battle for everything that we make a decision on is made what? In the soulish realm. This thing between my ears, which is my brain. I can choose to do that, or I can choose not to. But I want to be
led. It's a battle.
It's a battle. I want to be led by the Spirit. So then verse 18 tells you this. "But if we be led," what? "Of the Spirit, you are not under the law." You're not under the legalism of all that. All right. Not saying you don't have to keep any of the law. We have to obey those things, and we know they're good for us. Okay. Paul said it was in Romans chapter 7. He says the Torah is what? It was holy, just, and it's good. It's good for us. Amen.
Well, if we're led in the Spirit, we're going to do the things that's in the law, because the law is written in our hearts.
That's right.
It's not on tablets. It's not something just to put on the wall. Mm-hmm. No, it's written in your heart, and you live it every day, and you walk. You never leave your heart, right? Your spirit is always there. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, you know, we're going to follow the things of that's in the Bible, what God says that we should do and what we shouldn't do.
That's right.
Because we're going to, we have a new heart.
Absolutely.
So our heart has been circumcised. So we have, our heart has been circumcised, and that's the cutting of the flesh. So our flesh, as we walk in the Spirit, we're going to have less and less fleshly desires.
That's
to
right.
to fulfill those things of the flesh.
Amen.
You know, the lust of the flesh. So we'll want to be walking and being led in the Spirit. We'll want the truth. We
right.
want the truth, and
absolutely.
And you know, when we grieve, we grieve the Holy Spirit.
That's
we can
right.
also grieve our own spirit.
Sure can.
When we do the wrong things,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why God says we need to keep a heart that's pure.
That's right.
A pure heart.
Yeah.
We need to have clean hands and pure
sure.
heart, and then you know we won't fulfill those
right.
things of the flesh. We will the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. You know, God gave us these wonderful, you know, eyes and. Ears to hear and hands to touch and places to go with our feet, but you know we're supposed to. All those things should be directed by the Lord.
That's right. So you think when we come, you know, to the Lord, well then we have the Holy Spirit in us. Think about the people in the first covenant, way back there in Israel and all that. They didn't have anything within them to really stir them up to do right. They tried to just do it on their own volition and their flesh and all that. Well, they didn't have what we have. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us that should lead and guide us and tell us what's right and what's wrong, you know. And so I wonder why people get that way. But we talked about Timothy. It talks about their conscience can get seared and they want to do what they want to do. So it's very important to understand what God's trying to tell us here with this, that we need to be led by the Spirit of God, not by our flesh or any of the legalistic things of the Torah. We should just be led. Jesus came, what, to change the heart. Go read to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. He talks about the Beatitudes. I call them the Beatitudes that we as believers should do. And everything he talked about was not something you try to think in your mind. It was a change of heart. The heart has to be changed. And then those people, and we're talking about here like homosexuality, that when their heart is changed, they won't want to live in that area anymore. They want to please God more than themselves, and they can get away from it. I mean, we've heard about a lot of people that came out of it and became incredible teachers in the body of Christ, had family, children, and all that, and went on with their lives. So God can forgive anything if we just turn our lives over to Him.
Let's go on and finish this chapter.
Okay, go right ahead.
And, you know, it talks about what you talked about before, adultery and fornication, uncleanliness. And verse 20 talks about, says, witchcraft.
That's right.
Wow.
It's right here, witchcraft. We're talking about Halloween, aren't we?
That's right. What about hatred?
That's right.
What about variances and emulations and wrath? You know, a lot of these things you can see in families and
that's
even
right.
in the church.
Sure.
Wrath, you know, anger, right? Strife. What about strife?
Mm-hmm.
Sedations. What about the jealousies? The jealousies you see in mm-hmm. you see that in believers. So all these things we need to be. We need to deal with ourselves. Are we envying? Do we envy someone? How about murders? You know, drunkenness.
Sure.
You know, how about alcoholics? Oh, it's okay to drink. You know, and all this and that. How about reviling and all that and such the like. You know, of which. I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past.
This is a key verse.
That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
And we know that's for the world.
What
about believers that are doing this?
Well, we're talking about believers. This is written to believers.
This is not written to the church.
World.
That's right.
This is written to the church. And he's talking about you won't inherit the kingdom of God.
That's what he said.
And so he goes and tells us what the Holy Ghost will do if we allow the Holy Ghost to the Spirit of God to dwell in our spirit and we listen. See, we can hear the voice of the Lord. We can hear the voice of the Spirit.
Right.
It says that this is the way we should be. And it takes, you know, these things they're worked in us by the Holy Spirit, aren't they?
Amen.
Yes, I know we're running close. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See that? No law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, that's the key, with the affections of and lusts. And then 25, if we live in the Spirit,
there we go.
Let us also walk in the Spirit.
Order our life after the Spirit.
That's right. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Wow.
It's interesting. There's nine nine fruit of the Spirit here, which compares to what? The nine manifestations of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we need the Holy Ghost. I always look at that word temperance. These other Bibles call this word self-control. You can't control yourself. I'll be honest with you. You think you can, but you can't. We need to be tempered by the Holy Ghost, and then we can do those things that God wants us to do. That's what needs to be done. We're tempered by the Holy Ghost, not by what we want. So it's not self-control. A lot of people think they got self-control, but they don't.
And you know, the Lord will teach us.
I have problems with it myself from time to time. So we need what? We need temperance being led by the Spirit of God. Amen?
That's right. Praise God.
That's right.
Wow. Praise Jesus.
So this is incredible.
Well, you know, and so a lot of the church, we really need to... See, we have the nine, you talked about the nine gifts of the Spirit, but if we're not, we can operate in the nine gifts of the Spirit, but you know, we need to have the fruit of the Spirit to be able to operate in those gifts with love and with joy and with peace and with long-suffering with people. Some people really need a lot of long-suffering, and it's not easy sometimes. We need to have gentleness and goodness and faith, you know, trusting in God, meekness and temperance, as you said. All these things, but you know, these things that are work in us, and what these are the things that are on our, I call our tree.
That's right.
All that fruit
should hang on one tree.
One
that's
tree.
What, that's what
these
God
are
says.
The things, because we are a tree. We should be a tree of righteousness. That's Amen. Right. Planted by the waters. Amen. Drawing forth living water from the Spirit of God.
So we see all the corruption in our country, all the stuff that's going on. That's just incredible. I mean, just sins everywhere, you know. And we're accepting that. And the church has never really stood up and said, no, 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 no. You know, abortion's been going on all these years, and almost 60 million babies have been killed. Now we got marriage being redefined. It hasn't been redefined. My book right here says it hasn't been, and it never will be. It's a man and a woman. Okay.
People need to have a new
That's
heart.
Right. And all this, well, they're taking these babies now, they're aborting.
Terrible.
And cutting up babies for body parts, and they're selling them. This is a total abomination to God. So how could anybody in the political arena accept that and think it's okay? And a lot of these people say, oh, yeah, I go to church. Well, they might go to church, but they don't even read this book I have in front of me called the Holy Bible. They wouldn't be doing those things.
So they don't know the truth.
They don't know
the truth.
Or they believe the lie. That's okay.
That's what the devil wants us people to believe the lie.
You got it.
Well, praise God. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We are blessed to be with you every Saturday, Lord willing, on this WCNO. Also on the internet, you can listen to this again on the internet if you'd like, so like to. We also have meetings with God, Pastor Gene likes to say.
That's right.
This afternoon at 4:00, we'll be showing a video, very informative video, which is very informative.
We need to know that too about
We need to know
the Islamic faith.
We need to know history. You know, Bible's a history book as well.
That's right.
And then also we'll be meet together on Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Friday night at 7. So if you would like to know more, or you'd like to have give us a call. Our number here is area code 772-285-7007.
That's or just come code, and visit, right?
Come and visit. Area code 772-285-7007.
So we love you all. That's why we're
Amen.
On this program.
Praise God.
And we've been on here 18 plus years. And
thank you, Lord.
We thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to do this. We hope you got something out of this today.
Amen.
And maybe you can help someone else. If you're not involved with any of this, maybe you can help someone else that is. Take them in the Bible. Show them what God's Word has to say. That's what can change us. His Word will change us. That's what it was all about. Mm-hmm. That's what He gave it to us. And so Jesus is the Word. And so as we close this program every week, we tell you to remember we're on here because we love you. We don't see people to grow up and mature. And we also tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.